And then she responded by saying, LMAO, I would, but I don't know how I'd avoid Steven tonight, with a bunch of laughing emojis. And then that was the big revelation, because you talk about male intuition. Like, one thing you know as a man is that you do not ask a woman if she wants to fuck real quick unless that line has already been crossed. You know,
like, yeah, I didn't know any man who would say that if it didn't already happen 100%.
Exactly. So I brought that to her, and then, you know, she just fucking, she changed the story. She's like, oh no, we made out one time. And then I was hounding her more, and she's like, oh, well, he fingered me once. And I'm like, okay, well, now you have three different stories. You have nothing ever happened. You have, you made out one time. You have, you fingered one time. Like, I'm not stupid. You're treating me like I'm stupid. Like, and I told you, if you lied about anything, I'm gone. So now I have to be gone. And I basically told her that I was going to wait all of September and go back home in September. Like, I need to get away from everything and everybody just to recalibrate. And so, and it was like, we shared an apartment at that point, you know, and like, kind of, I told her that that was my plan. And like, in a weird way, we also kind of like made up, you know, like that was the plan, but you know, we were kind of still living life as usual. And then like a week or two later, I told her that I was still planning on going down to Virginia. And then she got upset. Like, she thought she had smoothed it out over just because she was nice, and she probably fucked me at some point that week and thought I forgot all about it. But I was like, no, I'm still going down to Virginia and, you know, taking time away from everything. And then she found that out. She got very upset. And it was just a whole thing. There was one night where she was upset, and I told her, like, I'm going to Virginia. She was basically waiting, asking me to wait until the end of September before I make my decision to end the marriage, because it's a 5-year relationship and it deserves time and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I don't think a month at home is going to make me change my mind about all the shit that I know that you've been doing and this, this, and that. And then she got mad. She started throwing framed pictures of us, you know, so the glass would shatter everywhere. But it was like, man, if my decision wasn't made at that point, it was made then, you know, like, we're done with this. The next day, she's, you know, please wait till the end of September to make a decision. And I was like, yeah, well, based on how well you took the news last night, sure, I'll wait till the end of September to make a decision, right? You know, like, supremely manipulative shit, you know? But I was smart about it, though, because I knew while I was gone in September, her brother and sister were coming to visit her from Spain. So basically, I waited until mid-September when I knew they were in the city, and then I called her, and then I ended it officially over the phone, because I knew she would not do some dumbass shit, to do a little bit of tactical planning. So, you know, ended things for real in September. And then we had to fucking share that lease until the end of February. Oh my God. Yeah, that shit. So neither of us are making enough money to move out. You know, we ended up sharing the lease. It actually wasn't that bad. We ended up doing like a week on, week off kind of thing, where, you know, if she needed the apartment, I had a buddy in Harlem that I would stay with for a week. Okay. And when I wanted to come back, you know, she had friends in Brooklyn that she'd stay with, you know, so it ended up like, we didn't have to see each other that much, which was very good. But the one story that I do think is the funnest thing, and I mentioned this to you in the email, was I went to Virginia for all of September, and then I remembered I have a wedding in Virginia in October, like mid-October. And so I was like, you know, I'll just stay a little bit longer, but all of my suits are still in the city. So I have to come back up to the city for one night just to grab my suits and then come back down to Virginia. And I picked a Friday because she's almost always working on Fridays. But just my luck, she was not working that Friday. So she ended up being home when I got there. And this is the funny thing, was like, as soon as I got home and as soon as I see her, it's like, I see her face, you know, and it's like, she looks remorseful, you know, like sad to see me. And then like, I don't know if you've ever been to Breaker Upper before. Have you been to Breaker Upper before?
I would hope so. I would hope I wasn't just always dumped.
Exactly. Well, then you know about like the Breaker Upper guilt. You know what I mean? Like, even if you're secure in your decision, usually maybe you let a week go by or whatever, but those thoughts creep back to you. Like, maybe I'm overreacting. Maybe we should try to work this out. Like, maybe I was wrong, you know? And so when I came back to the apartment for one night to get my suits, I see her face, and that Breaker Upper guilt starts creeping in my head, you know? And I start to feel bad, until I went to our bedroom, and in our bedroom, she had left a used condom on my nightstand. We had two nightstands. She had her own nightstand. She left a used condom on my nightstand for me to fucking see when I get there.
I think whoever she had sex with put the condom there, and he obviously put it on your nightstand because he was on that side of the bed at the time that he took it off, and she just didn't move it.
Yeah, exactly. I asked her. I said, I looked at it and I went, I said, that's really nice. And she said, I'm sorry. I've I was drinking and being self-destructive. And I was like, what, this morning? And then she said 3 days ago. I'm a dude. I have never left the condom out for longer than a night. That's nasty. And like, obviously she fucking left it out there for me to see, you know? And it's like, I did not care that she was sleeping with other people. Like, dude, I was in Virginia on a Tinder tear, bro. I was tearing shit up in Virginia because I am like,
how are the hoes in Virginia though?
Far and few in between. Far and few in between. That's we are so spoiled living in major cities. I swear to God. So it's like, you know, I was on Tinder, but I was also in Richmond, Virginia, which is where, you know, VCU is, and it's like basically the largest concentration of like young people in Virginia. So like when I'm at my mom's place in Fredericksburg, Virginia, there ain't shit. But when I'm in Richmond, you know, we got a fighting chance. That's what I'd say this in a special. That's what happens to men when they go through a heartbreak. They use sex as a band-aid. And especially when you've been cheated on as a man, and especially to the extent that I was, it's like, it kind of starts for me. It started as a thing of like, look, I could have been doing this the whole time. You know, like I could have been getting pussy 3 times a week if I wanted, you know, and it started kind of as a ego rebuilding kind of thing, you know, because everything is shattered as a man. You know, when you get cheated on, I feel like men are not comfortable enough to talk about how damaging the affair and cheating really is, because every dude wants to be stoic. Every dude wants to be like, yeah, no, I don't need no chick, whatever, it's in the past. But like that shit is so damaging. And it's like you just end up sleeping around a bunch if you can. You know, I feel very fortunate that I was able to have a hoe phase. Most men can't. You know, I did not know what I was doing until I was 29. You know, I never had a hoe phase before, but after that, it, you know, gave me the motivation to be on Tinder and stay swiping on Tinder, stay going out on dates, stay smashing. So it's like, I did that.
Like MC though? Like, I mean,
at the time, no, because it's like, I've been with the same person for 5 years. And also, like I said, I know she's been sleeping around. So for me to sleep around feels very gratifying. And also I also hadn't slept with that many people yet, like at that point in my life. Like I think by the end of my marriage, like, so by the time we basically broke up when I, like, just before I turned 30, and just before I turned 30, I think I had slept with maybe like 12 people from like age 20 to age 30, you know? So by the time I jumped back in this dating pool with this extra fire in my belly, trying to rebuild a shattered ego, you know, like it was very fun meeting new people, very fun sleeping around. Like I'm an extrovert already. So just meeting hot new people and sleeping with them was the funnest thing.
But I got to say, like you already said, 85% of the women in New York are starving. So what's the percentage in Virginia?
It's about the same everywhere. But, you know, my philosophy with sex and like something that kind of helps me cope through that aspect is like the first time I hook up with a woman, I always say the first time is for me to show you what I can do. The second time is for you to show me what you can do. And the third time is for us to work together, make magic, you know? So the first time I sleep with a woman, I am in fucking show mode. I am like in performance mode. I do not make a bad first impression, you know? So the first time I sleep with a woman, I really don't mind like the pillow princess, the starfishing very much. Like what I care about is, am I making her come? That is all I care about the first time I sleep with someone. The second, if we sleep together again and it's like boring or they're not pulling
the same, you can't be like, you know what, it's so funny because I talk to this guy right now and he calls it zombie. Like, I've never heard that before. Like he had never heard the phrase pillow princess before, and I had never heard zombie. And he's just like, you know, I can't deal with these zombies in bed who make me feel like a necrophiliac. Oh my God. You know what I mean? And so
I completely agree with your boy. And you know what it is to me? You know what a big difference is to me? It's like, I don't mind if you are a little bit lazy or mostly on the bottom, but if, as long as you are loud, as long as I know I'm doing a good job, then it's fine. You know, like if you are fucking silent and not moving, then yeah, that's a zombie, bro. That's no good. No one's getting called back after that. Anyway, so the thing that annoyed me with the condom though is that it did not bother me she was sleeping with other people. What bothered me is that she's sleeping with other people in our shared apartment, and I still have valuables there, you know, like, and I don't know what dusty ass broke as fuck dude she's bringing home. So it's like, I was already in Virginia with two suitcases with like everything I need for a month, you know. I ended up packing a third suitcase with everything valuable that I own for my apartment, And then I was traveling around Virginia for a month with three suitcases. Man, the breaker upper guilt evaporated once I saw that condom. In a weird way, was like one of the nicest things she could have done for me, because I did not doubt the decision at all. Like, I had doubted it before. Like, you know, am I overreacting? Am I this? Am I that? You know, but I did not doubt the decision at all after that. Okay. And so that was one good thing to come out of it.
But like, were you, you don't gotta, you know, be specific, of course, but were you calling her out of her name essentially when you saw that condom? Like, did you lose it, or were you more like, okay, I get it?
No, I'm a fucking freak. I picked it up and threw it away. You know, I ain't afraid of a used condom. You know, it's like, I'm like, get this fucking thing off my nightstand, you know? So I picked it up and threw it away. And I don't think I called her any names. Like, I didn't blow up. Mm-hmm. It just like was not like, not even worth blowing up at that point. You know what I mean? Like, my decision has been made. I am done with you. Like, I am not wasting any more energy on you. Like, you're nasty. I did not call her out of her name in that argument. But to be fair, when we fought before, there were plenty of times where I was calling her out of her name or saying something rude. And, you know, to be fair to me, I was getting it right back. You know, sometimes she would start it, sometimes I would start it. It was not a healthy relationship, you know? So I'm not saying I never done it, but I did not do it that day because I was just over it.
Yeah, I mean, I never even say that phrase, called her out, her name or whatever. Like, because the thing is, it's like, yes, I am going to use certain choice words when I feel that it is warranted. Yeah. I don't really see a point in me refraining from calling somebody an asshole who's being an asshole. Like,
yeah.
I'm being dishonest if I'm not calling a spade. And absolutely. I just don't put much stock into it if someone calls me a bitch when I'm being a bitch, like, because I'm for sure I'm going to be calling them an asshole and a motherfucker myself. So it's like,
right. Exactly. I was like, any name calling, you know, I know it's not good for the relationship, but also it's like, you know, it wasn't unwarranted, you know, it was not coming from nowhere. But like I said, that's like ugly moments in a relationship. I, you know, somewhat regret now and wish I had learned the conflict resolution that I know now, you know, but yeah, at the time it wasn't pretty.
But I mean, that's the thing though. I do truly believe it's like when two people are, when there is a couple and the relationship is great / amazing and they break up, that's what's hard.
Yes. So, yes.
With you seeing the condom as a final reminder that the woman who told you that she's for the streets remains for the streets.
Yes.
I see a pattern here. I need to be done with this because this is just what it's going to be. So like you said, that was a gift. And so like, it is really heartbreaking. And I have met people where their relationship was incredible and they were together for a very, very, very long time. And they were having sex often the entire time, but it was like for one reason or the other, they broke up. And it's like, these people, they're crushed. And I really understand it because it's like, the relationship was incredible, you know? So like when something bad happens, you know, like cheating usually is what they're referring to, that helps people to move on because they're like, okay, I can't be with this person because of A, B, and C. But when it's really like, okay, but we were in love and happy, but we just couldn't sync up on when to have kids, for example.
Yes. Yes.
Because of that, then it's like they really, really struggle to move forward because their relationship is amazing.
Absolutely. I mean, I've been saying the amicable breakup is the worst kind of breakup. Like this, and I've really only had two major relationships. And the first breakup was amicable. It was just like, we were kind of both at different points in our life. Neither of us had done anything wrong. And we wanted to, I wanted to split just because like I did a classic fat guy move, right? Because I was a big fat guy for most of my life. I moved to New York. I got really skinny and then I wifed the first chick that was into me. And by wife, I just mean like, you know, commit to a girlfriend, you know, my first girlfriend. And we were together for 2 years. And, you know, at the end of the 2 years, I was kind of, you know, I was working as a barista at the time. I was getting flirted to at work all the time. And I was like, you know, I want to see what's out there. And that's essentially why we broke up, because I wanted to be a hoe. And I felt awful. I felt awful in that breakup because she did not do anything wrong. Mm-hmm. And it was just kind of like a growing apart for a few months, you know, And that breakup was awful because she did not do anything wrong. She didn't do me dirty, you know? And I felt awful about that for a long time. And this breakup with the ex-wife, oh my God, not a fucking ounce of guilt, you know, not an ounce of guilt after that condom. The amicable breakup is significant. I'd say the amicable breakup is might even be worse than getting cheated on in the first place. Like, I don't know. That's up to the people inside themselves.
Yeah, that's what they say. Like, as far as moving on, like when you have like one specific bad reason, it's like, okay, this is why we broke up versus we were amazing together and fucked three times a week for 20 years. Like,
right.
You know, two different things. You know what I mean?
Right.
And there's just a lot of things that aren't really discussed. And that's 100% one of them. Like, it's not, you know, people just, they're, you can't put everything under the broken up or breakup umbrella. You know, it's like, right. No, there's really a wide spectrum there. And yeah, it sounds like you like that person or love that person and vice versa, but you wanted to do your thing, even though, you know, like, I guess that person would treat you right or be good to you and wouldn't be, you know, for the streets. But no, I think with cheating though, it definitely makes people, it's an ego. It's a total assault on someone's ego.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. As a man,
I don't even imagine, like, I'm sure that makes you like, just think things that you don't need to be thinking.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's extremely damaging. It's extremely ego shattering, you know, and that was, like I said, another big reason for the tender tear while I was in Virginia, which is just rebuilding that shattered ego, you know, like it becomes a thing of like, oh, look at all these chicks who want to fuck me. Look at all these chicks who say I fuck so well, you know, everything, you know, fuck her. She was wrong, you know, like, and so it is extremely, extremely damaging. Like I was getting laid over everything for like a year. Like I did not stop for like a year. I was putting off priorities. I was putting off my own comedy career, like nights I could have gone out to show. It's like, I never missed a show that I was booked on, but it's like, if there was a night where I could go to see my friend's show or I could get pussy, what do you think I'm going to do? You know, that's what I would do.
You're trying to feel better. And you said like, it was validating and gratifying. Unlike, you know, when you were in an open, quote unquote, open relationship, you said it made you, you know, miss Carrie more. So I want to get to, you know, obviously you felt confident in your decision after you saw the condom. So did you have contact with Carrie after you guys officially, or just at any time once the official breakup began, did you have any contact with her? Did you ever try to be friends with her?
I did try to be friends with her because after we broke up, that was like September and October, I was in Virginia, but I came back to New York before the end of October. And like I said, we had to share that lease for like 6 months. So I kind of came back into it like I wanted to be nice. I wanted to be amicable. Like I came back in like kind of trying to play the nice guy. You know what I mean? Like, hey, my decision hasn't changed, but we still have to see each other, you know, like, so let's just try to be as nice as possible.
What were some of the red flags?
Okay, this is my favorite question because I saw something on TikTok the other day that floored me. It killed me.